when you turn those heaters on.
Woe is me.
Got to put my cheaters on.
Jeepers creepers, where'd you get those peepers?
Oh, those weepers,
how they hypnotize.
Yes,
where'd you get those eyes?
Welcome to What the Nostalgia Podcast, the podcast where we go back and review movies from our formative years on up to our late teens. And at the end of the podcast, we ask ourselves, were we looking at the content through rose-colored lens, or is it as nostalgic as before? We're your host, Jarrell.
And I'm Jamel.
And this is What the Nostalgia. Jamel, what we got?
We have Jeepers Creepers today. This was released August 31st, 2001. It was directed by Victor Salva, with a cast starring Justin Long and Gina Phillips. Box office numbers, they had a $10 million budget and they grossed over $59 million worldwide.
Bam. All right, hey. Well, as is the custom, when's the last time you've seen this movie?
Man, it's been a minute. It's been a minute since I've seen this. I have seen it a few times, though, at least. I mean, over the years, I've probably seen it at least, you know, 7 to 10 times, maybe. But yeah, the last time I actually watched it all the way through, it's been a little while. But, you know, it was back in the day, it was one of those, I don't know, I kind of feel like it's more of a cultish kind of horror movie now. I mean, nowadays, but back then I feel like it was a pretty big heavy hitter as far as the way people talked about it. What about you, though?
Yeah, I would agree with what you just said. I mean, I've seen it a few times since it came out. And I'm pretty sure I've seen it back then when it did come out, or at least around that time. So yeah, I've been very familiar with it. I was trying to think of another title for this movie, man, that I could come up with. Jeepers Creepers is already a pretty decent title, you know what I'm saying? If I had to come up with another one, man, I don't know, it'd probably be something stupid like Heebie Jeebies or something. But
that's too close.
that could have been Jeepers Creepers 2, Heebie Jeebies, the subtitle. The Heebie Jeebies. But but yeah, man, I want to say something real quick about Justin Long, who's pretty much the star of this movie or whatever. As I was watching this movie, I just want to ask you, do you get the same feeling? I know we recently did Superbad. Could he not have played Michael Cera's character, Seth, in Superbad?
Nah.
No?
Michael Cera has a level of awkwardness in the films he plays in. And I'm not even talking about just Superbad, but from film to film. It's almost like that's his thing, the awkwardness that he brings. And I just don't... I see, like, the timidness and stuff. Maybe that could work, but as far as the awkwardness that Michael Cera brings to the film, I don't think he could have played that part.
I think he could have slid in there, man. His performances, he's always like this sweaty, just awkward dude as well in a lot of his movies. I mean, I don't know if you've seen him in Dodgeball. I know you've seen that.
Yeah.
I feel like that character, I feel like he could have played that. Oh, and I don't know. It's something that came to my mind as I was watching this movie. I was like, he could have played Seth. Or, hold on. Yeah. Was it Seth or was it,
golly, I was forgetting the name.
But it wasn't Seth. It was the other guy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, I can kind of see the comparison, but I just feel like that awkwardness that Michael Cera holds, man, I don't think nobody can really replace that too much, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I can see what you're saying. I mean, it was going to bother me if I didn't get the name right. It's Evan.
Evan, that's right.
But yeah, I just felt like he could have played Evan. That's who I really meant to say. But anyhow, yeah, that's just something that I, you know, that came to my mind.
You got anything
before we get
Let me bring up a couple things before we get, well, really just one thing before we get to the actual review. This movie is creepy to a whole nother level, you know, because I was doing some research on this film, and the director, Victor Salva, I don't know if you've heard about this over the years, or because I don't really know too many movies he's directed, but it turns out he's a convicted pedophile. So the crazy thing, even crazier than that, he was convicted on that before he made these Jeepers Creepers films, right? And not only does he play the creeper in this movie at certain points, like he's not a creeper throughout, but he plays the part. You got to think too, in the second film, like I think towards the beginning or in the film, his target is a young child. And then the third film, his targets are a bus full of teenagers. Now this is after all the him being convicted. So I think they say he served like a, what you call, like 18 months or something like that in jail for the crime. And I just thought that was kind of creepy. That made the film even more creepy to me, because you got to think this had to come from, it came from his mind, and he's doing these films after all that, after the incident. So I thought that was kind of crazy when I had looked that stuff up.
Yeah, that's a little weird, of course. Disgusting. But
Yeah,
I had heard about it, and I didn't realize, you know, how serious. Some of these people in Hollywood, man, they be getting away with some stuff, and
yeah, it's a dark industry for sure. That's for sure.
Yeah,
but yeah, let's get into it, man. So in this film, of course, this is one thing I didn't realize. So the creeper or whatever. In this film, basically, he hibernates for 23 years, and then he's able to hunt for 23 days, basically. Now, one thing I didn't know is something else I looked up. In all three of the films, the 23-day period that he's allowed to hunt, it takes place in those three films. So it's, those three separate films are all within the same 23-day period, which I didn't know that.
Okay. Now, you already know my style. You know I went back and watched all these movies. There's actually four also.
I know they said it's a new one that came out not that long ago.
Yeah, it came out last year.
Like Reborn or something like that?
Yeah. And I was saying the same thing to myself as I was watching them all. I was like, okay, if he's supposed to come back every 23 years, I was really thinking in my head, like, what year are we in each of these movies? And now that you just explained that, you saying that they all took place within the 23 days?
Right.
Okay,
right.
Yeah. I guess that makes a little more sense, but...
Because you notice in the first one, I mean, he didn't die, they didn't, you know... I mean, it was a pretty... Usually in these horror films, even the Michael Myers and the Jason movies, like at least they show them, quote unquote, dying, and then they come back the next movie. But in this film, he's alive and well, you know, at the end.
Yeah, that's a little wild. But I'm glad you explained that to me, though, because I did watch those movies and I was like, okay, was the first movie set in 1972? And then this is what? I was trying to figure it out, and I don't know how I didn't piece it together, but yeah.
You made it make sense for me. That's the thing, though. I don't know if they... Because they really didn't explain a lot, you know? So I don't know in the next two films if they kind of go a little more in depth about, you know, how he hunts and how much time he has. But yeah, that was one thing I noticed. They didn't really go too in depth in the first one.
Okay.
But let's get into this, man. They opened this up with the two main characters played by Justin Long and Gina Phillips, and they're on this road trip home. Basically, they're coming from college on their way home, I guess for the summer or to visit for a little bit. And I gotta say, man, for me, road trip horror films, that's some of my favorite kind of horror films. You know, for me, you know. And but I think the difference with this one, usually in road trip horror films, they end up, they're not really on the road that long. Like, they're on the road in the beginning of the film, and then they settle in one spot, whether that be a camp, whether that be a house, a party, whatever the case may be. But in this one, it's kind of like a nonstop horror road trip. You know, they stop at certain places, but they continue to keep moving. You know what I'm saying? Not that long after. So I thought that was pretty cool how they did that in this film.
Okay, I want to understand. I done forgot exactly where they was coming from. He was in college, right? And
I think they both were, because he mentioned the line to his sister was like, you live off campus or you don't live on campus or something like that in some of the dialogue.
Okay, so yeah, he went and picked her up, and then they was heading home. So this is, they're going home for whatever. Okay, yeah, I agree with you, man. That's a good setting. You're at a road trip horror. I mean, the back roads, man. You ever been on some of these back roads? In some of these, in some of these cities or some of these towns. You'll be like, man, I don't know what might happen out here.
Right.
Who's watching?
How long this road goes.
Right, right. So, yeah, I can get down with what you're saying here.
Yeah, that's like built-in horror for me sometimes.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, it doesn't take long, man, for them to introduce the creeper. I mean, you don't really see him, but you see his vehicle, which to me was more prevalent than the creeper itself throughout this film. You know, they passed this camper with two older people in that camper, I guess on vacation. Did you notice how they kind of pulled to the side to allow the creeper to pull up behind them? It was almost like they knew what was about to happen, because it looked like when they pulled off, they didn't pull off on the road. They just pulled off to the side of the road, you know, turned into the side of the road, and then you see the creeper's vehicle coming up to him. But I just got to say, man, with that vehicle, man, I got to ask, like, I wonder what he had under the hood of that vehicle. You know what I'm saying? Because any vehicle I see, I see like the creeper had, is usually creeping along slowly on the road or isn't going that fast. I mean, he was like in a, like he was in a race car. Catching up to him for a minute.
Okay, let's hit on two of those things that you just said. You was talking about the camper that pulled up to the side.
Yeah.
And you almost felt like it was like on purpose, like they was doing, like they knew.
I was wondering look, if that was what the intentions of.
Look, at a certain point in this movie, I was saying to myself, I was like, is this kind of like a Texas Chainsaw Massacre type of deal? I don't know if you ever seen those movies, but I believe like there's a family relation to
I think in one of them for sure.
Yeah,
there was a family relation,
and I was starting
and they were actually on the trip with them,
right? And I was starting to think in those terms. I was like, is this like somebody's mutant son in this town? And, you know, we don't know yet. You know, I hadn't watched this movie in a good while, so I was kind of thinking, like, I wonder where they going that angle. But that was a good scene. I like that reveal, you know, them pulling off. And yeah, you got my man's truck all the way in the back. It's funny that you bring up the vehicle the way that you did, because number one, even Justin Long's character, Derry, he's talking. He's like, what's that guy got? Or he was like, it's souped up. And I was like, yeah, is this one of those Fast and Furious souped up trucks or whatever? I was like, hey, I don't know what's going on. But also, I got to go. Now I got to bring up some of the later movies. The movies go off the rails. I'm going to tell you right now. they go way out there. The third and fourth one is one of the so bad is good type deals. It's crazy. You know, by the end, that truck is like the damn Batmobile. It's doing all kinds of crazy stuff. So going back and looking at it from the first movie standpoint, I'm like, yeah, it makes sense that truck was doing that. That it was moving that fast, and I was like, you don't know what's on this truck.
So it looks completely different by the second and third one?
No, it doesn't look different, but it's got gadgets like it's the damn Batmobile. That's what I'm saying. Like it could have been in the Dark Knight. That's all I'm saying. If Batman had hopped out of it, I'd have been like, yeah, that makes sense.
It definitely had the speed to be in the Dark Knight, sure.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, man. So we gotta get into the decision, man. This is something I noticed, and you know, in all these horror films, right, you have that point in the film where they have a choice to make, you know. And of course, most times they choose wrong. If not all times they choose wrong, you know, it's for the film, they have to do it. So, you know, they choose to go back to the building he dumped bodies in, you know. And to me, it was like, first off, they were convinced of what they saw, right? They both convinced that they saw what they saw, him dumping bodies into the sewer or whatever it was. And then they choose to want to go back to that place. You know, I'm like, you're sure what you saw, but you want to go back to make sure that you're sure what you saw. I was like, yeah, that's one of those moments in a film that you see in all these horror movies. You're like, man, why did you choose to do that? So yeah, that's my whole spiel on that moment of the film when they end up going back.
Yeah, you said it's that moment in the film. You know what that moment is called? What's that? It's called Deserve to Die. It's time to dust that back off. It's time to dust that back off and bring it back out. Add it to my Deserve to Die list. For you to go over there, I mean, all right. At the time, they don't know what they're dealing with. They don't know who they're fooling with right now. But even still, you just feel like you saw something get thrown down there. This person has already tried to run you off the road almost.
Right.
And you're going to go over there and try to investigate while it's away? You already know your car is getting ran down by this Fast and Furious truck. So, I mean, just all the everything's into play. Now she's fine at this moment. She's the voice of reason. Like, yeah, that'd be stupid. But now here's the part where I'm conflicted about this, though, because he did put it up there. He was like, hey, well, what if that was you? You know what I'm saying? Is a hard, you know, situation to be put in. Like, if you was down there in that hellhole that they was in, wouldn't you hope
I get tired. Yeah, but I get tired of people phrasing that. To me, that's like people use that sometimes to try to make the person they're trying to convince bad about the situation. Like, but it's not you. And of course, if it was you, it would definitely be more thought to it. But it's not. You know what I'm saying? We got to say, sometimes in life, you got to save yourself. You know, I'm not saying that's what life is all about. Sometimes you got to help others as well. But in this situation, no, let's go. I'm not trying to hear that. Let's go. We can go get some help and have them come back. You know, we won't ditch them completely. We'll go at least try to find some help and report this.
So I guess I know where I stand if I happen to find myself in one of these, you know, layers.
See?
You know what I'm saying? I guess I know where you and I stand.
You taking my words and you try to twist them. I said, of course, if it was somebody I cared about or somebody that I knew, then yeah, of course it would be different, a different situation, but it's not. Like, we could still attempt to go get some help. You know, I feel like the level of help that you give depends on the the level of relationship you have with the person.
Well,
like if there's somebody I closely know, then yeah, the thought of me going back would definitely be more prevalent. But if it's somebody I don't know, I still would help, but I would find a different way to probably help that person.
Well, now I'm about to bring up a point to you, because at some point while they're driving on the road, they mentioned some girl's name that they knew that was lost around here. And when he finds him,
I must have missed that.
Oh, you missed it?
I must have.
Well, you definitely.
Was that around the same time when they were contemplating going back to the building?
They was driving, and yeah, it was like they was talking, and they said, I don't know. He turned to the sister and asked her what she was thinking about or something. I don't know. And she mentioned some girl's name that had got lost, and he found the girl. When he was down there, he found the girl. Do you remember the two silly-looking couples that the camera fixated on?
I think that looked completely fake, too. That looked like some mannequin. Like they didn't even try hard.
Yeah. Of course it was fake, but it definitely looked silly. But I believe that girl was the girl that they was talking about.
Oh, and that's why he took the ring, maybe.
I believe so, yeah.
I completely missed that. I must not have been paying too much attention at that point.
Yeah, so there was some, I mean, I don't think there was flesh and blood, but they knew her or whatever, or at least knew of her. So that's a part of it. But even still, there was just a lot of dumb moments. I mean, I'm going to keep it honest with you. I would have pulled a different move too. You know, I would have definitely, no, you got to get yourself safe first before.
Yeah, let's drive to the first nearest gas station and report this or something,
That's the vibe that I was getting. But the more that stuff continued to happen in this movie, I was like, dude, get out of the state first before you even try to report this. I was like,
yeah.
If that's me, I'm like, man, I'm going to Mexico first, and then I'm going to tell about this thing. There was a lot of deserve to die moments in this movie. I'm just going to be honest with you. And that was the start of it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so
that was like 16 minutes in. They already deserved to die 16 minutes into the tour.
Well, again, right now, she's not on that list. It's specifically Derry, which, why is your name Derry?
He convinced her to do it, so hey.
I mean, I'm not putting her on. I'm not going to put that on her. It was his idea, and he wanted to do it, and he's the one that wanted to jump into the sewer and talking about hold my feet. I'm like,
listen,
were you not expecting?
They established, right, that was her car that they chose to drive. And at that point, she took over the driver's the wheel at that point. So, hey, look, all you got to do, you're driving now. It's your vehicle. Instead of making that right turn to go back, make that left turn and keep it moving.
I'm not blaming her at this moment, bro. Like I said, the blame is on him. He
didn't have a gun to her head.
He's the one who pulled on her heartstrings. It was like, hey, what if it was you? And he kind of, you know, she was not wanting to do it.
If she didn't want to do it, she should have kept it moving. Chose to move the vehicle in that direction. Sorry. He's to blame too. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to exclude him from any blame, but I'm saying you can't exclude her from any blame. She chose to move her vehicle back to that point. So, hey.
I got other things to blame her for, but I'm not blaming her for that at this moment. You know, we'll get to her.
All right. Well, we move forward a little bit, and they end up getting to a diner. We kind of spoke on him falling into the sewer.
Hold
like we were saying, just to kind of give a quick, you know, over. They did go back to the building. He was definitely stupid for.
Hold on.
Decided to dangle into. Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I hate to cut you off, but that, yeah. just, you know, filling out the story. Yeah, he got dropped off in that lair or whatever, or in that underground basement that was by a church, and he's discovering this whole hellhole of what the creature, what Jeepers, I'm gonna call him Jeepers for the movie, what Jeepers left in this basement. Now, at some point, I don't really remember how he got out of this basement or how he even got out.
They didn't show it.
See, I was a little bothered by that. But this was the extra part where I was like, this is where you deserve to die. Because she was in the car chilling, and out of nowhere, he runs up and like throws himself against the window as like a jump scare. And I was like, you deserve to die. I was like, you should have stayed down there. I was like, I was just rooting for the creeper to come back. And I was like, why would you have jumped out of there and did that scare of her? It bothered me.
Wait, so you mad at, see, you blame him for a lot, man, already. Now look, so you're blaming him now for finding a way to escape that lair and run, go back to the car. Like you faulting him for that?
Are you kidding me? Is that what you think I just said? I'm not mad at him. No, I'm not mad at him finding a way to escape. I'm mad at him for getting out and immediately throwing himself at the window and scaring her.
Well, you know how these films do. Plus, he's in shock, man. He's crazy. What he just saw, I mean, any human being would be in shock at.
You know what? I wanted to ask you about that, too. About the state of shock, because yeah, he's seen some stuff in there or whatever. Yeah, don't get me wrong, it's a lot of wild stuff that he saw. I mean, a whole tapestry of bodies, I guess, on the ceiling of wherever he was at.
Bodies sewed together.
What point? I'm not convinced. Okay, I asked myself, at what point do you become so shell shocked where you just can't, where you just won't explain yourself, where you just won't tell the person what's going on? It's like he saw the stuff and then was very calmly telling her. I'm putting a lot of blame on Derry. He did not prep her for what was going on. He's just like, call the police, go get help. Whatever her name, Trish. I was like, do you want to explain some stuff? But like, look, there's a, he should have said exactly what I just said. There's a whole tapestry of bodies on this wall, Trish. Get out of here. or whatever. Yeah.
So he's not allowed. See, why are you criticizing him so much, man? So he's not allowed to be in any state of shock. People handle it differently, man. Maybe I'm pretty sure he probably never saw a dead body before. And there's got to be levels to seeing dead bodies, right? I mean, it's a difference if you see a dead. I'm pretty sure it's a difference if you just see somebody dead on the road versus you see people sewed together and their head was chopped off and sewn back on. Not only that, he just missed the other guy from dying. The dude was trying to tell him something, and he died right there in front of him. I mean, that's a lot to see, man, at one time.
It is. And I'm trying to empathize with that, but at the same time, completely judging that situation, I feel like you shouldn't be shell shocked all the way yet at that moment. I feel like a little more could have been put on you before you got shell shocked and just stopped talking, and then you just throw yourself at the window and just look at her like, I just saw the devil. Whatever.
So you don't think he might have been tired? We don't know. They didn't show how he got out of there. They don't show if he climbed out, if he found a secret door down there to get out. You don't think? First of all, he fell. I don't even know how far on his back on that hard floor down there. So you don't think he was tired and just throwing his body weight against the car? I mean, come on. You're being a little too harsh on him right now.
Hey, all right. Hey, maybe. Maybe I could let up on that one, all right?
Listen, and then let me flip it on you. You sitting there talking about something, you wouldn't go back, blah, blah, blah. He was the one that sacrificed himself to actually you know, climb down there, try to, you know, figure out what was going on. So let me flip it that way on you. He was actually the one that was trying to save somebody.
Hey, fair enough. I mean, I still say you deserve to die, but maybe just a little less.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, I'm with you on that. I'm just trying to, you know, I'm just trying to make a case for him. That's all.
All right. I got you on that. Oh, you can continue.
So they keep it moving, man. After that, of course, like we just said, he escapes out of the well or the, I don't even know what that was. That's probably where he hibernates for 23 years. Who knows? But they continue on the road and they land at his diner where they go there to try to get help. They tell the people to call the police and try to get the help that they need. And everybody in there is kind of like they don't know of anything that's going on. I mean, they couldn't have drove that far. So to me, I guess that goes back to what you were saying in the beginning. Like, this dude, a part of the town, did the town know about this creature? How long had that creature been in the town? That scene makes you ask all those questions. But they get a phone call. The payphone in there just randomly starts to ring. And it's a character by the name of Giselle who was calling them at this time. And she knows who they are. She knows Justin's name and I forget the character name and Gina's name. And down to the tattoo he has, she knows what he's seen so far. And she's asked him, have they seen certain things yet? And I was just like, man, this is, I just didn't like that scene, man. I didn't like how, you know, I feel like it was kind of lazy, man. You know, we try to come up with these story ideas. And I feel like that's one of those things where we would kind of shoot down. It's like, man, I feel like they were trying to pack in all the ways they can make them try to figure this thing out just through this one character. It's hard to really explain, but I just had a feeling that I just didn't really like that scene, man. I don't know how you felt about it.
This scene, it was both interesting and idiotic. Okay. Interesting and idiotic. Number one, I'm going to say it's a little interesting to have somebody call you up just out of the blue. And you got that sense of, oh, how do you know me? Where are you? You know what? You know, you just all that type of confusion. If somebody just randomly calls you up and has details about you like that. But also it got idiotic because she was just, that's another one of my pet peeves in movies where people don't explain stuff themselves. I know you got to do it for the movie, but it doesn't mean I ain't going to hate it every time. Where you just don't explain yourself and you're just saying random stuff. This dude is asking her direct questions. Who are you? Yeah, you got the tattoo on your lower stomach. He just asked you a question. How do you know me? Did you see the catch yet? What's going on? What's going on?
That is an irking point, though. I don't mean to cut you off. That's an irking point, though, because it's like at this point in time when we're in danger, it's no time to be speaking in code, man. Like, tell me what's going on. Tell me what's up. Do you have a location I need to go? Who are you? Just tell me straight up who you are.
Yeah. Don't be using pronouns and stuff. Talking about it doesn't like to come out when the, what is it? Tell me now.
Right.
Tell me what it is now. Now, I didn't call her Giselle in this movie. I called her the Oracle. Okay. Here's my Matrix. Here's my Matrix analogy here in this movie.
Yeah, you had a Matrix because analogy in a minute.
She pretty much was the Oracle in this thing. Looked like her. It was a bootleg Oracle. You know, nothing comes to the original, but also while they was talking on the payphone, I was like, is he about to beam through the Matrix through the payphone? You know, like in the movie. I was like, you know, just, I don't know. That just came to me as they was doing their thing in that diner. But yeah, I was like you, man. I mean, half of it was idiotic to me, but still, you got the point of, okay, we got another character. What's going on? And she's yeah. just bringing in a few details. Like, hey, if you hear right. this, that's where we get the introduction. She's playing the song. She's like, if you hear this Jeepers Creepers song, which we played at the beginning of the podcast, get the hell out of there.
Now, let me ask you this before we move forward. If you saw the other two movies, was she even in the other two, that woman?
No. So
she basically didn't help at all.
I was looking forward to it. I mean, I didn't see her in the second one. I didn't see her in the third one, fourth one. I mean, she definitely was going to be in the third or fourth. I'm going to tell you that right now, because the budget, you could tell, gets lower and lower, and they wasn't going to be able to afford her. So
yeah, that's wild. That's wild.
It should have ended at the second one, trust me. But yeah, she's no longer, yeah. You would have thought that she would have played some type of role and brought her back at least, especially for the second one. But nope.
Right. Yeah, because that most movies, that type of character, like if you know what's about to happen or you have some information, at least somehow they help the characters. She didn't help them at all. They treated her with disrespect when you really think about it. They was asking her throughout the film, how accurate are your dreams? How do you know this is real? You know, they didn't even really believe her. And in the end, I mean, we'll get to it, but she didn't really help at all.
You bringing how they was treating her up brings me to another deserve to die moment. And that's for Trish. Because, yeah, in that scene, I think they're, like, at the police station. We're moving ahead a little bit, but, yeah, I believe they're at the police station. And she shows up, and, you know, she's trying to talk with them for a little bit. And at this moment, I'm like, yeah, Trish deserves to die for how she's reacting. I'm like, you've already seen some wild stuff. Like, by this time, they've already seen him, like, in person and everything. Like, they've seen his face. They've seen him bite somebody's tongue out or whatever. And so you've seen carnage. And the way this lady, the Oracle, is trying to explain to them what's going on, and the way Trish is just not receiving it, kind of acting like you're crazy or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm telling you? Like, the Oracle starts to, it's like the Oracle tells you what it eats, and then she's like, just get away from her or something like that. I'm like, you have no reason to not believe anything that is being told to you for the rest of your life. Like you got no reason. I was like, why are you reacting that way? You just saw some wild stuff. You deserve to die at this point, Trish. And she deserved to die, you know, also earlier. You know, kind of skipping around, but there's a scene where they go and they're on the road, and I think they meet. Oh yeah, this is like directly after the diner scene or whatever. They're on the road now, and I think they're about to stop at some person's house. This old lady or whatever, and she's speeding away because, again, they just saw Jeepers do some crazy stuff to some guy's head. Derry, he says to her, slow down, right? At that moment, I said, Derry deserves to die again. Okay. That's the, like, right there at that moment, I said, Derry deserves to die because, again, you just saw something crazy. At no point in time should you have told her to slow down. You should have told her to speed up. You should have told her to speed up. But now here's the part where she deserves to die. Because instead of slowing down, she completely stops. And I'm like, you deserve to die. Because you just, like I said, you just saw some crazy stuff go down. Why are you stopping? Both of y'all just made stupid decisions in what you said and what you did. And you both deserve to die. And I was bothered by it.
Nah, I can see where you say that. I mean, I think at that point, too, they find out the thing has wings, I believe. At that point, they find out it can fly. So, I mean, it's no room to stop at all. I mean, like you said, even slowing down. You can't risk anything. The thing we've seen throughout the film up until this point, it doesn't take much for this thing to catch up to.
No, not at all. I want to bring up one more thing, man. I want to talk about certain callbacks that happen in movies. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like we should do this, you know, on like a just a weekly basis when we do these episodes, man. And just judging if it's like organic, if it felt natural. I don't like to watch movies and see something like implemented and like it's just like so obvious, like in your face, like, oh, okay, yeah, this is gonna have to come back some way or whatever. How natural did this feel for you? The clothes. When they introduced the clothes and then it his laundry that he's coming to bring. And then after the diner scene, the creeper, whatever. He's gone into the car, ransacked the joint, and I guess he's got the scent of the clothes. You know, that's a part of the story. It's like he deals with smelling people, and he does a lot of smelling. Did that feel natural, that callback coming in? It felt natural for me. I just wanted to know what you thought about it, because I didn't even think about it.
I mean, what you just said, I didn't really put too much thought into it. It didn't seem forced. I mean, some time had passed for sure before they brought that scene back. And it just showed you how the creeper works, you know? I mean, that's what I was sitting there thinking, like, that's he gets an idea of maybe how his potential victim might taste or whatever. I mean, just certain tactics that he used to basically stalk and hunt his victim. So that's more so how I looked at it. I was looking at it more so on the side of, you know, they're showing the creeper at work, like how his tactics work or whatever throughout the film. So yeah, I didn't think it was forced. I thought they did a good job with that.
Okay, yeah. I just wanted your thoughts on that.
yeah, for sure. Now, you kind of mentioned the ending a little bit with Trish and everything. And, you know, it, throughout the film, it's some bad dialogue moments, but I just felt like the plea deal that she gave, man, at the end when he had, keep forgetting his character name, but when he had Justin Long, you know, basically towards the end of the film, he was getting ready to fly away with him. You know, the way she was pleading with the creeper to take her instead of him, like, one of the things she said, I feel like, kind of made him fly off. Like, I think she said a line talking about some, I'm stronger, you want me? You know, I mean, wouldn't he want the weaker vessel? You know, you kind of just, if anything, he's like, nah, I don't want somebody that's going to put up a fight. You know, I want the weaker vessel. So I thought her plea deal that she gave at the end trying to save her brother was kind of weak, you know, in my opinion.
Not really. Why wouldn't you want the best parts? He has to put himself back together through people's body parts and stuff like that. Why would you take somebody with poor vision over 2020? That makes more sense. What are you talking about?
Well, so, I guess I wasn't looking at it like that. I was looking at it in the sense of, like, I'm the stronger person. Because she said something like, I'm the stronger, I won't fight back. Like that, you just contradicting yourself. Like, what are you saying right now?
Well, here's the thing also. You could tell he was starting to listen to reason. He was
contemplating a little bit.
He stopped for a minute. It was like, well, you know, maybe. You know, I was like, what's going on right now, man? They got the creeper really, like, thinking it over. Like, okay, maybe, like, it was a for real hostage situation. Like, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and put the gun down. Fine. You know, you got me. So that part was a little interesting. But ultimately, it didn't work.
Nah, not at all. Not at all. That was a bad ending for him, man, for real.
Yeah, so she winds up.
And then the way she walked out of the police station after everything, and the way she was looking at that crow, I don't know if you got this feeling, but I was like, the way she kind of looking at that crow was kind of like, that's my brother. That's my brother right there. Like, so that's just the feeling I got from it, man. I didn't, you know, I don't know if that was just another carryover from earlier when she saw the crows at the church or whatever, but yeah, it definitely didn't end well. It wasn't a good ending.
I don't know what all these crows symbolize, but they do play parts in the movies going forward. I'll just say that. So
yeah,
maybe.
Oh, and the second and third.
Well, I'll say I don't know that they really play a part, but the camera gets fixated on them quite a bit, and you're like, all right, what's the point? So I would at least say that. Like it's almost like they want to explain something with the crows, but they just never did, and they just want you to just think about it, I guess. Like, we're looking at this crow for a reason.
Right.
But anyhow. Yeah. Oh, my bad. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask you, what did you think of the overall suit? Like, the suit of the villain, of the monster in this film?
Oh, I thought it was decent. I thought it was pretty good. Even coming back, you know, years later, 22 years later, and looking at it, I felt like it still held up. I like the practical. I like some of the older versions of monsters that they used to create, that you actually had to form something, and not the whole CGI thing, man. Like I said, I got to keep hitting on it. Those later movies of this Jeepers Creepers thing, it looked dumb. It looked so crazy. I'm like, I know that they didn't have the budget for it, but like, go back. I wish movies would go back to those practical. Yeah, get the daggone outfit. Get the whole, you know, cosmetic stuff, whatever. Put it together, man. Stop, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So the newer ones, it is CGI'd out.
Pretty much. It is bad. Like I said, you could tell there's like no budget for those movies. But I want to talk about. Just my last thing I wanted to say. I wanted to talk about it at the end, where he's flown off with Derry. And now we're like creeping into the camera is going into wherever he's at, this lair. And in this lair, it kind of made me laugh, because I was like, this lair seems a little too upscale for this monster. Like, like it just felt like he was a man of culture and refined taste and all of that. Like he was in there sipping on a good year of wine and, fixing some antiques or something in his spare time. It looked kind of crazy to me that he was down there sitting on that bench the way that he was. Like I said, looking like he might be fixing up a boat. I mean, one of those little modules. I don't know. It just looked crazy to me. I felt like it should have been a little slimier or something. It just looked too upscale for him. Like, he should have. I mean, they could have turned that into a comedy for real. Like, he could have had a whole robe on, and a pipe in his mouth. I was like, what's going on?
Oh man, yeah, he definitely upgraded compared to the church, the layer at the church. That was a definite upgrade. He had moved on up, man.
Yeah, I suppose. But that's all I got. Moved on up.
But yeah, that's pretty much all I had as well, man. That's pretty much the review of Jeepers Creepers. You know, had its up moments, down moments for sure. Bad dialogue, you know. The monster itself, like we just spoke on, I think was a good part of the film. I think the originality of it definitely gave it a point for me. If the monster was any... if it didn't have that effect, I would say that my rating would definitely be a lot lower. But because of that, for me, I'm going to give this 2-point rewind rating for me.
You said 2.3?
No, just 2 points.
Oh, okay.
2.0. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, you went a bit lower than I thought you would have went, man. That's pretty bad. So this was a bad movie for you.
Yeah, it's a bad movie.
Oh, okay, wow.
When I'm comparing it, because when I'm comparing it to how I used to feel about it, or I used to think about this film, compared to now, I just, you know, I appreciate the monster. That's about it. You know.
Okay. I mean, dang, yeah. I'm surprised that you're on that one, man. I'm gonna go 3.75. This was decent. It's not the best, but it probably would have been like a 4.5, 4.25 for me if I judged it back then in 2001. So some points had to come off. You know, again, they did a lot of stuff that they deserved to die for, so I had to bring some points down. But ultimately, like I said, I felt like this was a good horror. This was a good horror for that time period. And, you know, it's in the monster lexicon, I guess. Yeah, these are for me. 3.75 rewinds, man. That's where I'm at with it.
All right. That's why you surprised at mine. Kind of surprised at yours, man. But, you know, sometimes this stuff happens.
No doubt.
For sure. So next week, we'll be bringing you guys next couple weeks, where we bring you guys the review of, we're doing another Jim Carrey movie, The Cable Guy.
Yeah, it's about time, man. Have we done a Jim Carrey movie already? I can't remember.
Yeah, I think the only one we've done is The Truman Show. That was a minute ago.
Oh, okay, yeah. I forgot about that. All right, well, yeah. That's what we're leaving with. We're going to play the trailer. And we thank y'all for listening. Peace.
Let's do this.
Slip the cable guy $50. He'll give you all the movie channels for free.
You're offering me a bribe. What you have just done is illegal. And in this state, if convicted, you could be fined up to $5,000 or spend 6 months in a correctional facility.
Oh, please. No, that was dumb. I was just making conversation.
I'm just drinking your chin. I'll juice you up.
For Stephen Kovacs.
Hey! You guys play here too?
Cool.
The price of cable just went up.
Okay, Chip Douglas, you're on my team. Let's play.
No way.
I'm on Steven Chin.
No.
We're not friends. I don't even know you.
Well, let's fix that.
He's got a friend he can't control.
Where are we going? Only the finest restaurant in town.
Can I have your skin? Check this out. Silence. Of the lambs.
I just don't have any room in my life for a new friend.
So, what are you trying to say?
A friend who will not be ignored.
I gave you free cable.
The guy is a sociopath. He leaves messages on my machine night and day.
If you're there, pick up. Pick up, pick up, pick up, pick up, pick up.
He shows up wherever I go. He won't leave me alone.
He's gonna need some tough love.
There's Stephen Kovacs in here.
I'm Stephen Kovacs. I didn't do anything. Just call my cable guy.
At least look into it.
Nobody named Chip Douglas works for the cable company.
Suspicious, isn't it?
You're all being fooled by him. He's a lunatic and he's a felon.
Don't mess with me.
Come back here so that I may pay thee!
I'm here for you! Don't do that, you're gonna get me killed!
Oh, Billy!
Jim Carrey, Matthew Broderick, the cable guy.
Okay, I'm going. Take off.